It's a little bit nerve-wracking when somebody else preaches when you're responsible for the pulpit, or just somebody else talks from it. And I called Brother Steve, never having a conversation with him before, the other day to get ready for tonight. And this is what I asked him. I said, Brother Ted talked to you, and I just want to touch base with you about just encouraging him. You know him better than anybody else. Sunday night, and he said to me, "Well, what I'd like to do is come from the Word." And I was like, "Yeah, come from the Word. Come on." Thank you, Brother Steve. It's either been a long day or a good day when you've had three different preachers get up here with their Bibles. So we'll find out. You can decide for yourself at the end of the day. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. I want us to look at what we are asking these two men, Brother Ted, Brother Feliciano, to do. What we believe the Lord has sent them to do, as we just heard, what our other deacons have been set apart to do, to encourage you guys and to encourage us as a church, and also to look at what we need to do as a church along beside the men that we have called to serve, or the Lord has called to serve us as deacons. So, can we do that for the next couple of minutes? Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We've looked at this a handful of times. We're going to look at it again tonight. We see the church is growing. The church is in its infancy in Jerusalem, but it is growing. The gospel is advancing there in Jerusalem. People are repenting and believing in Jesus. And we pick up in Acts chapter 6, and it says this: "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." So we see a problem arise in the church. There is a specific group of people within the church in this passage that are being neglected in the daily distribution of food. So a problem arises. Following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the apostles ask the congregation to set apart 7 men to make sure that this neglect does not happen again in the congregation. What we see is a handful of things here that I want to kind of pull out, and I want us to hang on to as a church, but I want you men to hang on to. We see that they're set apart to proactively serve, to see that no one among the church is neglected. Oftentimes we see churches and pastors and myself included, churches and pastors and bodies of deacons serve reactively. So they wait and a problem arises and they respond. And what I want us to see here is that's what the church did in Acts 6, but they reacted by installing deacons to be proactive to see that no one was neglected. They weren't waiting for someone to be neglected so that they can meet a need. They were actively serving, or expected to actively serve, so that no one was neglected. That the office of deacon is a proactive office in the church. To actively serve those who are likely to be neglected among our body. The homebound. Their caretakers. Widows. Orphans. Spiritual orphans. Children that are growing up without believing parents, to bring them to church. Or the church member who has just fallen out of attendance. First 2 weeks, people notice. 2 months go by, and we've forgotten about them. Neglected. I want you to think about the man or woman who lives on their own. Can't drive at night anymore. 2 months ago, they could easily change a light bulb on their own. But now they're not sure they can get behind the wheel anymore. They need to change the light bulb in their bathroom so that they can see in their bathroom. This may seem like a small thing. But that man or woman is going to have to go through the process of, who am I going to call? And how am I going to ask somebody to take time out of their day to come help me with this minuscule task of changing a light bulb? And men, I'm not saying you're supposed to keep the lights on, or that we as a church are supposed to keep the lights on, but if we can do our best to make sure that people among our numbers don't get there. Like, they know we are here. We're in constant contact with them going, hey, is there anything we can do? So that they can say, actually, yeah, there is. So they never have to sit at their phone and decide who they're going to ask and then humble themselves and ask. Not that anyone needs to be above that. But if we can proactively serve our body in that way, man, what a gift to our congregation. We also see that these men were given the duty of the daily distribution of food, which is where the duty began, but not where it ended. Which is why we see the office of deacon continued in Ephesus, when Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, and to Titus. We see that men who serve as deacons are called to serve where no one sees them. And few people thank you. The nature of the calling of pastor is in front of the church. I have the privilege of getting done with what I do, and I am encouraged by the body because most of the body witnesses what I do. But it's different for a deacon. For a deacon, you're called to go where no one is. In fact, probably because no one else is there other than the person you're serving, or the people you're serving, or the family, or the couple that you're serving. So you're called to serve where no one sees you. And very few people thank you. So as pastor, I just want to tell our deacons that are serving now, thank you. Thank you for serving whether or not someone sees you and whether or not someone says thank you. Thank you for serving and doing things even I don't know what you're doing. The office of a deacon is a hard calling. I want you to read the first couple of verses here. Really quick, one more time. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, so the church is growing. Things are good. They're like, wow, look at what the Lord is doing. And then it happens. A complaint arose. I just want you to notice, a complaint arose, and the Lord leads the church in Jerusalem to appoint men to make sure this problem doesn't happen. But that also means that future complaints, now notice, so far this is a thankless job, but it's not a complaintless job. So when complaints happen, because people are being neglected, it's going to come probably to you. Maybe by way of four or five different people. And so this is a hard job. The nature of serving the church as a deacon is hard. So I want to say thank you to our current deacons, but I want to say thank you to Brother Ted and Brother Feliciano. Thank you for being willing. I know you knew that before tonight. But it is. It's hard. We as a church need to recognize that. The office of deacon is a high calling. See, they appointed the men to serve as deacons. Verse 6, they prayed and laid their hands on them. And then verse 7, look at what happened. The word of God continued to increase. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So the most unlikely people to place faith, repent and place faith in Jesus were placing faith in them. The Lord was no longer adding to the number of disciples, but here in chapter 6, he begins multiplying the number of disciples. And I want you to see what it's connected to. It's connected to the service of the deacons. Not the preaching of the pastors, but the service of the deacons. So don't miss it. What you will be doing as a deacon, Satan will do everything he can to grind the advancement of the gospel to a halt. One of the simplest ways he can do that is to begin to lead us to forget people. And if we forget people, the advancement of the gospel will halt. And deacons, it is your privilege and responsibility to make sure that we don't forget them. It is a high calling. When it's done right, it enables the church to preach the gospel and make disciples and see disciples multiplied. And that's our prayer, isn't it, Eastside? 1 Timothy 3. Another passage that speaks to the life of the deacon. First Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. I'm not going to go into everything this passage says. I'm just going to kind of bring out what I think are the big chunks of what this passage is communicating to us. Verse 8. This is Paul speaking to Timothy about the church he will be pastoring or is pastoring at the time in Ephesus. So Paul says to Timothy, the Holy Spirit through Paul says to Timothy and to us tonight, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Two things from this passage. One, I encourage you, there's going to be a temptation to be busy about the work of ministry, which is good and you should be. But the temptation will be to neglect your Lord. That's the temptation for me. To be busy about the work of pastoring and to neglect the Lord who's called me. So in your life, prioritize seeking Jesus. On the days that you feel like it, seek Him through His word and prayer. On the days that you don't, seek Him through His word and prayer. If you do not, verses 8 through 10, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience and let them be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. I just want to be real clear. It's a slow drift from your Lord. It's a slow drift for me, from my Lord. I drift from Him further than I realize it before I even come to the realization that I'm drifting. So seek Him daily. Prioritize your relationship with Him. If we do not do that, if I don't do that as a pastor, I disqualify myself as a pastor. If you do not do that as a deacon, you disqualify yourself as a deacon. Prioritize your relationship with Jesus. And two, prioritize your relationship with your family. See here, Paul is greatly concerned with the family, the spiritual health of the family of the deacon and pastor. Later on, we see he's concerned about the spiritual health of the church member, period. He says, let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So as a pastor and as deacons, we must prioritize the health of our relationship with Jesus, then the health of our relationship with our spouse, with our wife if we are married, and if we have children, the spiritual health of our children. And if we cannot do both, if you can't do both in the future, I ask you this question today, or ask this question during the ordination council. In the case that you can't do both, prioritize your marriage, prioritize the spiritual life of your children, and serve as deacon. The honorable thing to do is to step down from deacon and take care of your family. So please, your church needs you to take care of you and Jesus, you and your spouse, you and your children. And what joy there is in that, and freedom there is in that, to know, to be able to look at your family and say, in the case that I need to step away from serving as a deacon to take care of you, I will. Praise God that that is our Lord's priorities for us. I know this may seem demanding when we look at these texts, and it is. I take great comfort in what Brother Steve has already said. Those he calls, he equips. So deacons, if this seems daunting, or you're already serving as a deacon and you're struggling to do these things, those he calls, he equips. If the task of serving as a deacon in front of you tonight, Brother Ted and Brother Feliciano, seems daunting, those he calls, he equips for this task. So as we charge you from Acts 13 and Acts 6 and 1 Timothy 3, we have faith, not in your ability to do these things and live this way, but in the Lord's ability to equip those we see that he has called, and that is you. That brings us to the church. Three pleas for us as a church, church members that are long beside these men. One is this. I want to ask you to serve with your deacons. Serve with them. There were seven deacons in a church of thousands in Jerusalem. These men did not carry out every act of service. These men were responsible to make sure that no one was neglected. They needed help to do that. So serve alongside your deacons. If you see someone on the edge of being neglected, let them know. Serve with them. Make yourself available to them. It's been a joy over the last couple of months as we've had conversations with men who have been ordained in the life of our church in the history of Eastside. As we've asked them to serve, and because of life circumstances, there's been two or three different men that have said, no, I don't need to serve right now, but you tell the deacons, and this wasn't just to me, this might have been the deacon that they were speaking to that had the conversation with them, but you tell the deacons that if there's anything I can do to help them, to let me know. I'll do it. So that's the plea, the first one, to serve with your deacons. Second, thank our deacons. When you see the rare occasion that you see, and I don't say that because they're not doing anything, but I'm saying that because they serve out of sight by nature. But when you see or hear of our deacons serving, thank them. Tell them thank you. Encourage them. It is a hard and high calling. So one, serve with our deacons. Two, thank our deacons. And three, perhaps the most important, pray for our deacons. A moment ago, we saw in Acts 6 the weight of the office of deacon. How a complaint arose and there was a rift being formed in the church. And the church, following the Holy Spirit, appointed men to serve the church, make sure that wouldn't happen. And the result of them doing what they were called to do by God was that the church multiplied. This is a huge weight that we're asking these men to fulfill. So we need to pray for them. Oftentimes, the only time, and I'm not talking about Eastside, I'm just talking about in general. Oftentimes, the only times deacons are spoken of is in the context of complaint. They don't do this or they don't do that. And I just want to encourage you, if that is the case, pray for them. As we said a moment ago, Satan will do anything to grind the advancement of the gospel to a halt. So pray for these men and the other deacons. Pray that they would be hungry to know God more and more, hungry to feast on his word daily and eager to see him glorified in their lives, in their families, in our church. Pray for their marriages. Pray that they would set an example of what it means to sacrificially love their families as Jesus has loved the church. Pray for a desire to serve those, pray for our deacons to have a desire to serve those who are the most likely to be neglected, which are often the hardest to serve. Pray for a desire for them to serve them. Pray for them to have eyes to see those people that might be forgotten or have already been forgotten. And pray for them to have joy in this service. pray for our men who are serving our church as deacons. Just take this in and soak it in for a moment. Pray and ask God to give our men serving as deacons joy to go change a light bulb. Joy to make sure not only is no one forgotten, but those people who might be forgotten don't even feel forgotten. Pray that our men would find joy in that work. It is so important. And we need, it's a spiritual battle. We need our men to find joy in that. And it is hard to do. So we need to ask the Lord for that on their behalf. Church, we have such a privilege tonight to see the evidence that the Lord is working in our midst, that He's raised up two men who are qualified to serve in this high and hard office. And tonight we get to be charged with supporting them. We get to charge them with serving us, and we get to pray for them. So that's how we're going to close our service tonight. We're going to pray, and then we're going to close our time singing together. I'm going to ask Brother Ted, his wife Miss Judy, to come forward right here, and Feliciano. I'm going to ask Brother Ben to come stand with Feliciano, Brother Ben Brinkley to stand with Feliciano. I'm going to go ahead and ask what we're going to do next is, we've seen it in two passages tonight, Acts 13 and Acts 16. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Come on, Feliciano, you can sit right here, brother. I'm going to allow our ordained men, as they'd like to come and pray over these men. And as a church, during this time, if you just want to pray for these men, pray for our church, pray for all of our deacons. As Brother Steve has already said tonight, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to come before our Lord and lift these men up at the beginning of their time of service here at Eastside, which is awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and ask the ordained men. What we're going to do is we'll kind of fill up here, pray for them, start with Feliciano, and then file out that way, and you can trickle back into your seats. All right, men, if y'all come forward. Miss Karen, would you mind playing as we pray? And this is an invitation for everyone to pray. Ask the ordained men, deacons, ministers alike to come and pray over these men and those that are with them. And Miss Karen's going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord just to lead our hearts during this time. And then Brother Hayward will get us going here. Father, we thank you for the privilege of doing your work here on your earth, making disciples who will make disciples. And we thank you that you're working in the body here at Eastside. We thank you for raising up Feliciano and Brother Ted. And we ask that your Spirit would minister to them and to us as we pray over them on their behalf, and just ask you on their behalf to lead them and guide them and direct them and protect them. In your name we pray, Jesus.